trying to be perfect at our own expense? What do you do when you want to win a race? You run. You don't walk. You don't crawl or move at a snail's pace. Do you sit down in one spot? This spiritual race is a battle. We are on life's battlefield.
Right.
And if we do not fight, we will not win. You have to engage in this war to win.
Amen.
Here's a quote from Daddy that I really appreciated. Many today seek for what God has to offer, but not for God Himself. This is not thirst, but lust. Not hunger, but covetousness. Tonight, I want to talk about running. Running toward heaven. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9:23. And this do I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Verse 24. So run that ye may obtain. You have to run to obtain this incorruptible crown.
Right.
Yeah. Galatians 6:9. You don't have to turn there on every single scripture. I've got a few scriptures to go through. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Hebrews 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Running for heaven is running for God. And if we have no desire to run after God, then our life is in jeopardy.
Right.
But we are not running to God, but away from God. And running away from God is running straight for hell, to Satan. If we have no hunger, no desire to follow and serve God, then we are heading straight for the lake of fire. Living for Jesus is tough, but every obstacle that we face, if we are striving for what is right, will get us right into heaven's gates. But we don't want to do it just because we're wanting to save our skins in hell, but that through our life, the Lord Jesus Christ will get all the preeminence and that He would be glorified. Thinking of a poem by C.T. Studd. Only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. Resolving is one thing, doing is another. This is serious business. We have one life to live, therefore as this new year is approaching, let's sign our name in the army of the living God. Let's go until Satan we're through with his little system, and we are ready to join ranks in the battlements of the army of the living God. Let's resolve this year to fight to the death only because Jesus is worthy of the blood of his saints. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not unto me only, but unto all them also which love his appearance. What did Paul do during his life? What did he do? He ran a race, and he won. He ran a race, and he was able to win the crown of righteousness. If we don't fight, we won't win a crown of righteousness. If we don't go this race, we won't obtain the prize. Listen, we're talking about eternity. We're not talking about 2 or 3 days down the road. Where will we spend eternity? The death warrant of a sinner is his rejection of truth and God's grace. Do we want to go to heaven only because Jesus is worthy of our praise and because we love him and want to serve him, not because we're wanting to escape hell? We deserve hell. And it is nothing more than the mere pleasure of a holy and righteous God that keeps us out of hell at any moment. We deserve nothing more than to be dropped into hell at any second. But we serve our God who is just, and those who come to him he will in no wise cast out. 1 Corinthians 9:26. Through 27. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Running for God is exactly what the Christian does. He doesn't run for glory, he doesn't run for fame, or pleasure, or respect upon demand. Rather, he seeks to glorify God, and he puts all his energy and effort into running toward heaven and toward God. Furthermore, he makes sure day in and day out that he is conformed to Christ's image. We have the strength to walk holy by his grace. Let's determine to walk in all the strength our God gives us each day. I've got proof that our God holds us up. In Jude 24, it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Our God is not a man that he should lie, and God said this so we should believe it. If we stick close to him, then he will stick close to us.
Right.
Let's look at the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. Tonight, let's not look at the well-watered plains of Jordan. Let's not pitch our tent towards Sodom. Let's look at the nail-scarred hand of Jesus our Savior. Paul said, "I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Savior." He knew that there was a goal, that there was a mark, and that there was a race to run. And he knew that there was an end to the race as well. We are pilgrims in this strange land, and if we don't realize that, and if we don't realize this as a strange land, we are on the wrong side. We that are his will and shall see one day or another that this world is not our home. We are just going through it as a journey. Let us look up. Something I want to share that has been on my mind this entire year. In Luke 21. Nothing really I want to talk about. It's just something I want to share that's been on my mind this whole year. In Luke 21:25-28, it says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." One day, our redemption we will see our great redemption. I just like that verse right there. As we travel through this pilgrim land, the Savior will guide us and strengthen us on our way. He, Jesus, promised it. But we have to do what is right and holy. Tonight, those among us that aren't walking in the light, know tonight there is a God, and he will judge every thought and intention of the heart. There is a way of redemption for you tonight. There is still a bomb in Gilead. Calvary's cross is still there, but the man who hung there is gone off the cross. Now he is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, judging those who have not passed the test. Tonight is the night of salvation. Tonight I have resolved, and I hope with others, that I will obey and serve God simply because he is worthy of my breath and praise. I just rejoice tonight that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
And I'm glad that we were able to come to Missouri and express joys and sorrows to like-minded believers. By the grace of Jesus our Savior, we will soon be shouting glory just outside our mansion door, where we will live in heaven with God.
Amen.